Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's just give God praise again. Come on, Gateway City Church, let's lift up our great God. How great you are. Come on. Come on.
Pastor Jordan, did you feel that shift in the room?
I did. Wow. I feel weak up here.
Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This didn't happen in the first service. Okay. I think that today is a shift for our church. I think after today, that our church will never be the same. I think that after today, if you choose, that you will never be the same. I could worship all day. I'd much rather keep worshiping than hear myself talk. Ooh. Can I? Can I just say that as we go forward in our gathering today, I love when we lift our hands in worship. I love when we shout. I think that we should receive the word the same way that we worship. I think that we should be shouting. I think that we should be excited. I think that we should be anticipating something great. I don't know if you've ever been to the Super Bowl, but when you go to the Super Bowl, you don't show up expecting your team to lose. You go expecting something great to happen. I think we should expect something great to happen when we come to church. I think when we go see the Warriors play, we get real amped and we shout and we scream for our team. I think when we come to church, we should be excited. We should be yelling. We should be shouting God down. We should be receiving the word. I don't even know. Okay. Okay. Let's get going. All right. You know what? You guys can be seated. Can we say thank you to our worship leaders? Whew. I have 4 pages of notes up here. And my rule that I have for myself is not to exceed 2 pages. So I'm in trouble. I want to start out before I even jump into the series. In case you don't know me, my name is Jordan. I'm the youth pastor here. And I'm just so honored to serve our young people at this church. We have the best young people. But I want to say that anything that I do during the week or on Wednesday night, I just want to take time to let you guys know that, you know, when I'm in the office or here on a Wednesday night or up here preaching, going over my notes, getting to meet with students, getting to be in meetings with an amazing team. My wife is at home raising our three-year-old, and I wouldn't be able to do anything that I'm doing if it wasn't for her. Right now, she is actually, she's not in the room, is she? You are. Can you guys give it up for my wife, Pastor April? She's my Steph Curry. I'm serious. I could not do what I do without her doing what she does. And I just want to give her honor. I also want to give honor to my team. Do I have any of my, I know some of them are actually in junior high right now. If anybody's on the reality team, the youth group team, can you guys stand? Are you guys in here? Were most of you in service? Do we have any interns in here? Can you guys stand? All right, guys. Hey, give it up for my team and our amazing interns. I get the honor of building with the best people. I'm sure your team is great. It's not a competition, but I'm just saying, if it were a competition, I'm just kidding. Okay, we've been in this new series. This is week three of the Filled series. Are you guys enjoying this series of talks so far? Did you guys catch last week's message on the infilling of the Holy Spirit? How powerful and amazing God has been moving in our church. And I want to encourage you, if you have not been able to get here the last couple weeks, everything's on YouTube. So go on our YouTube channel and watch, because it will change your life. I believe that today, that if you are expecting God to move, that you, if you expect God to do something great in your life, that he will move, that he will do great things, that he will change your life. I'm going to jump right in today. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm one of those public speakers. I need feedback. Okay, I don't want to be preaching up here by myself. I want us to do this together. So I need you guys, if you hear something good, if you hear something that, if you feel the Spirit moving, I need you guys to say so. I need us to be just as excited at church as we are any sporting event. I think that when we get to church, when we buy tickets for concerts, we try our hardest to be at the very front. I think that when we go to church, we need to try our hardest to be just as excited about receiving the word. I think that when we go to football games, we want to be so close that we can see the blood when someone gets tackled. I think that we need to be so close and so ready to receive the word. And guess what? Church is free. You don't even have to pay for your seat. I just want you guys to be in an atmosphere of expecting something great with me. Can we expect that God is going to move today? Today I'm going to talk to you guys about being filled with joy, living a life filled with joy. Joy is so important, and yet I know for me, when I was trying to figure out my Christian walk and figure out how I was supposed to move forward with God, that I had some misperceptions about what joy was or where joy came from, or how to be filled with joy, how to stir it up on the inside. So I want you guys to know that if you're wondering, how do I get from a place of feeling like I've lost my joy to living in joy, we're going to talk about that today. The first question I want to answer is, where does joy come from? I want you guys to know that joy comes from confidence in God, that no matter what, Jesus is for you. And the Father has you in his hands during the storms and during the good times. Joy is not the lack of a battle. Joy is knowing who is fighting in the battle with you. Joy is not the lack of hard times. Joy is knowing who is walking right beside you. You know, when I was younger, I had kind of like a big mouth. Some of you guys were even around for that, and I'm very sorry. So this was when I was a really, really young guy, and there were some kids playing baseball, some neighborhood kids, just around my house, and I was up to bat, and I was not the biggest guy, But I talked like I was. And I remember I was up to bat and I started talking trash to the pitcher, who was much bigger than me and much tougher than me. And I just started talking trash, man. And eventually he got fed up with it. So he dropped the ball and he started walking towards me. And as he was walking towards me, he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a screwdriver. And he got right up to me and he grabbed my shirt and he held this screwdriver up to my neck. So he was right in front of me, holding my shirt, screwdriver up to my neck, and I was suddenly filled with fear. Sure, understandable. Looking at him, filled with fear, not knowing what's going to happen. And then I suddenly see something out of the corner of my eye. So I look, and I see my big brother Aaron walking up. And suddenly, I wasn't filled with fear. Not because it wasn't a dangerous situation, but because I knew who was with me in the midst of that trouble. And you know what? From then on out, I walked a little taller. I walked with my chest out a little bit more. I talked a little less trash. But I was suddenly more confident because I knew who was with me. It wasn't my own strength. It wasn't that I had suddenly grown a foot. It wasn't suddenly that I had more strength or more muscles or looked meaner. It was that I had my older brother. And I knew that I would be okay. I want to read to you guys from Psalm 16. And this chapter will set up, I'm going to read the whole chapter. This chapter will set up just what joy looks like for us. And then I'm going to pull some things out of this chapter for us to talk about. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their God. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. Hallelujah. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Come on, anybody. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Another translation for that last verse says, in your presence is fullness of joy. How many of you guys are glad for the word of God that we get to read and receive from anytime we want? So from that, I'm gonna talk to you guys about a couple of things that I see in there for how we live a life filled with joy. And just so you guys know, I think that this passage, this chapter is such a beautiful example of what someone who's filled with joy looks like. I think if you ever want to know, like, man, am I doing it right? Do I have joy? Do I have the joy of the Lord? I think if you read this chapter and you're able to agree with it and it just gets you excited, I think you're on the right track. And I want you to know that David did not write this chapter when everything was going great. Actually, in the very next chapter, he writes about his enemies and how his enemies are trying to kill him. So this chapter didn't come from a place of everything in my life is going perfect. And I want you guys to know that joy is not the same as happiness. Joy does not mean happy. You can actually have joy when you're sad. You can have joy when you're feeling a little afraid or nervous. You can have joy right in the midst of a battle. Joy isn't something that comes down on you. It's something that comes up from within you. Joy, some of us pray and we say, God, hit me with your joy because I need it. But it comes from right inside. It comes when we stir it up. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But where does the Spirit live? He lives on the inside of every single one of us. It's not something that we ask God to rain down on us. It's something that springs up from the inside of us. And I also want you to know that you shouldn't be looking at other Christians for what joy looks like. We should be looking to the Scripture. I remember when I was a teenager and I was surrounded by all these wonderful believers, and they were friends of mine, and these believers, it was amazing. They would have conversations with God like every single day. They'd wake up in the morning, good morning, God. Oh, good morning, Tim. Well, what should we do today, God? Oh, I think I'll send you this way, Tim. And then while Tim's driving, you know what, Tim, why don't you take a right here and then go down the boulevard. And they would tell me about these interactions they were having with God. And I thought, man, I must be missing it. Because I've never had an interaction like that with God. So my faith must not be where it needs to be. But I want you to know that God speaks to you exactly the way that he made you to hear. Don't compare your faith to other people's faith. God made you to express joy the way that he made you to express joy. And if we look at somebody else for what joy is supposed to look like, then we could start to feel like we're not there. We got to look to God. So let me give you three thoughts on how to live a life filled with joy. The first one, we have to live our lives blessing the Lord. Verse 7 in that chapter that we just read says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Counterintuitive as it seems, if we want to live a life filled with joy, we have to live our lives blessing the Lord. So what does that mean? That means worship. We have to live our lives giving praise to God. And it has to actually be a discipline, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're not in the mood. If we want to live filled with joy, the easiest way to spring that up on the inside of us is to worship. In his presence is fullness of joy. But how do we get into his presence? I will enter his gates with praise. If you want to live in fullness of joy, if you want to be in his presence, you have to give him praise. When things are going bad, we have to give him praise. We have to let that be. We have to change our thinking a little bit. When things go bad, we get triggered to be afraid or to be cynical or to be down on ourselves, to kick ourselves. We have to change what that does in us. When things go bad, the trigger has to be, that has to be a reminder for us to give God praise in those hard moments. It's a discipline. We have to give God praise. And you know what? We have to give God praise when things are going good, when our bank account's looking good, when our kids are doing good, when our marriage is doing good, when our career is going great. We have to give God praise no matter what we're feeling, in order to live a life filled with joy. Have you ever been in a relationship where it seems like it's all about the other person? You know, there's a confidence that comes knowing that the relationship you have with God is not all about you. Knowing that not only does the Lord bless me, not only do I receive from God, but you know what? God is actually blessed by me. There's such a confidence in knowing that it's not a one-way thing. Because when it becomes this one-way thing and you're always asking, you're always wanting, and you're always, you kind of get to a place where you're like, oh, God, I know I'm asking you for a lot, and I know I really don't do much for you, and I really don't. But you know, when I come to God with a request, I come to him boldly because I know that our relationship isn't just about the one-way thing. I know that I spend my life lifting God up. It's such a key that I hope you guys can jump into. Number two. Second thought on how to live a life filled with blessing, or filled with joy. I have so many papers up here. It's like, This is why I don't do it to myself. The way you talk to yourself matters. The way you talk to yourself matters. Verse 8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. If you don't get any other point today, I hope you get this. That if you want to live a life filled with joy, it matters the way you talk to yourself. We have to get rid of negative thoughts. We have to get our thought life under control. Negative thoughts don't produce anything but more negativity. Negative thinking stifles the joy of the Lord from coming up inside of us. Proverbs 4:23 says this, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Well, if my circumstances were better, maybe I'd feel more joy. Well, if my job was going better, or if my finances were going better, or maybe I'd have, God, maybe if you just changed my circumstances, then I'd be able to praise you. But let me tell you something. God is much more interested in changing your minds than he is in changing your circumstances. As a matter of fact, he might just leave you where you're at until you learn how to praise him, even in the valleys, even in the hard times. And I've said this before from this stage, but it's actually, we think that when something good happens, then we experience joy. But it's actually the opposite. We have to stir up that joy. Your faith determines your outcome in a lot of these situations. Your faith determines your outcome. Your outcome shouldn't determine your faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I didn't make this point in the first service, but man, they were going to get thrown into a fire. You worship the idol, or I'm going to throw you into a fire. Here's the fire right here. And they said, our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow to another God. Even if he doesn't, that's what we have to get in our spirits. My situation could turn around and God could bless me and God could get me out. But even if he doesn't, I'm not going to let my mind go to the things that it's not supposed to go to. And if you know the way that story ends, Jesus did end up saving them in the fire. Again, joy is not the lack of a battle. Joy is knowing who is fighting with you. You guys see that movie Troy years ago, Brad Pitt? Anybody see that? I love the opening sequence of that. There's two armies, and they're getting ready to just tear each other apart. And one of the kings says, let's not do this. Why don't you get your toughest guy, and I'll get my toughest guy, and we'll have the two of them fight. And if your guy wins, then we'll all serve you. But if my guy wins, then you'll all serve us. And then the king, the first king, smiles. Because he knows he has Achilles in his army. So he kind of smiles. He goes, I'm so glad you said that. Achilles! In that movie, Achilles was asleep at that moment. But aren't you glad that our God never sleeps when it's time for the battle? Come on, give him praise this morning. As I'm talking to you about talking to yourself and the ways that we get joy welling up on the inside of us, I think just as important as what we are to do when we want to live a life filled with joy is the things that we need to stay away from. So before I give you the third thought, I'm going to move into a section that I call How to Kill Joy in 5 Easy Steps. How to Kill Joy in 5 Easy Steps. If you're someone that just does not like joy, and you're just like, I just got to get rid of some of this joy, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Number one, never be satisfied with yourself or your loved ones. Never be satisfied with yourself or your loved ones. Can we stop treating each other like our happiness comes from other people? Nobody can make you happy. Nobody can make you happy. That's your job. Stop putting your job on other people. Husbands, why don't you just let your wives be who God created them to be? And wives, he's probably never going to change. And I'm telling you, man, you can be miserable for your entire life if you just spend your life trying to crank your spouse into if he would just do this. And you'll be miserable forever. Why don't you just stop expecting that that will be the thing? We have to stop putting the bar so high for everybody around. And we have to stop expecting too much from ourselves. Some of us, we just kick ourselves every single day. And we just, if I could just get to the next level, if I could just get to the next level, junior hires, if I could just get to high school, then high schoolers, if I could just get to college, and then college, I just want to graduate, and then I'm graduated, I just want to be married, and then you're married, and then I just want kids. If I just have kids, I'll be filled with joy, and then you have kids, and if I just can get my kids to move out of the house, I'll be filled with joy. And then before you know it, you're 80. And you've lived your whole life wanting to be somewhere you're not. Why can't we? Let's just be happy. Let's just choose joy right now where we are. Number two, always try to please other people. If you want to kill joy, can I just release you right now from the ministry of pleasing other people? We have one person we gotta please. One person you gotta please. And from that, everybody else will just figure it out. They'll be okay. And you know what? If somebody keeps on getting on you and on you and on you, then probably if you change whatever they want you to change, they'll have something else for you to do. We just have to say, I just have an audience of one. You don't have to spend your life trying to please other people. That's not what our faith is about. Our faith isn't about being available for any person at any time, at any given moment. When you get home from work, put your phone on mute. Put it on the counter. People will live. Number three, allow yourself to constantly be around negative people. If you want to live a life where you have no joy, everyone that you're around, choose the most negative people that you can. The ones that have something to say about everything. And listen, I get it. Some of us, we have negative people in our family. Some of you might be married to a negative person. But that's why you got to make sure that in the rest of your life, you're set up with people around you that give you life when you're around them. We have like a quota. We have like a certain number of negative people that we can stand in our lives, and we can't go above that number. You just got to say goodbye to some people. You got to say goodbye to some people. I can't have that in my life. I'm sorry. I love you as a person, but you've got to back away from some relationships slowly. Have you ever been around someone and anything you say, it doesn't matter? You could comment on how beautiful the day is and their face is just. Why is it 75 degrees in February? It's too hot. I want to wear my coat. We have to get around people that just give us life. And if you're dating someone that's like a negative person right now, and I'm not, let me stop there real quick and say, having negative thoughts is not a sin. I had a negative thought earlier today. It's letting those thoughts drive. It's letting those thoughts be your default. You know, we had a leader in our church years ago who taught an impact class, and this always stuck with me. She said that a negative thought is kind of like a grenade. That when that thought drops in your mind, you have 3 to 5 seconds to pick that thing up and throw it out. If you let it stay, it will blow up and it will jack you inside. You can still recover from that, but rather than working on rebuilding my thought life, I would rather just pick it up and throw it out. A negative thought is like a phone call. You can't stop that thing from coming in, but you can choose whether you accept or decline. And I want to encourage you guys today to start declining some of those thoughts to get your life, your thought life, on the path that God wants you to have. He wants you to be filled with joy. He wants your thoughts to agree with His word. He wants your thoughts to agree with His thoughts about you and your life. The plans that He has for you are good plans, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope and a future. But guess what? If our thoughts are negative, if our thoughts are not hopeful, then it doesn't matter the plans that God has for us. We have to agree with God's word. The way you talk to yourself. Wait, no. Yeah, that's right. The way you talk to yourself. I said it earlier in the service. You have to start talking to yourself in a better way. We have to start moving past our negative thoughts. Number 4 is comparison. Always comparing your reality to somebody else's highlight reel. I'll tell you what, comparison could just rob you of joy. It'll just suck the life out of you. Let me just say that you did not start where that person started. You guys are on different journeys. You're in different places of your journey. Stop comparing yourself. And let me encourage young people or anybody that's on Instagram or Facebook that if you follow feeds that just make you feel bad about yourself, unfollow them. Unfollow them. Not because there's anything wrong with those profiles, but you need some time to like build yourself up and work on yourself. If you can, when you look at someone who's ahead of you, don't let it get you down. Let it inspire you. Let it inspire you to do better. I'm on this journey right now where I'm trying to like lose some weight and put on some muscle. Jordan, you look great. Thanks. And I see these other people, you know, that are like in the gym all the time. They're eating the right thing and they're doing such a good job. It inspires me. I look at that and I go, if that person can do it, I can do it. I am inspired by other people. But you know what? There are times where I can't look at Instagram because I'm in a mess. And it just has to be me and God. I have to keep myself from comparing. And then number 5, take as many opportunities as you can to be offended. Offense will just kill your joy. Choosing to just get offended at every little, and it's a snowball. You allow yourself to get offended at a couple things, and then suddenly it becomes harder and harder and harder to not be offended. We live in such a crazy time. You can't say anything. You can't say anything right now without somebody getting offended. It's a Facebook post. Relax. We have to lay our offense down at the feet of Jesus. We have to take that stuff to the cross. We have to repent of our offenses. We have to get on our knees before Jesus. Say, God, I'm sorry. I don't know how to get out of this cycle of offense. Help me. Help me. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this. I don't want to change somebody's status in my life because they say something I disagree with. Someone who gets offended all the time, that's a very lonely life. Because you just put walls between you and other people. And you put a wall between you and the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit challenges. the Holy Spirit will correct you. And in that moment, it might be through another person. And maybe some of us haven't realized that we've blocked off a relationship when God was trying to speak to us. We have to surrender our offense to God. We have to surrender our offense. Let me give you guys a bonus. Can I give you guys a bonus one? This is not in your notes. Complaining. If you want to kill joy in your life, start complaining. Find a reason to complain. Because, and let me tell you guys, there are reasons. There are things we can complain about. But man, complaining just dries up any joy on the inside of us. And you know what else? It does nothing to change the circumstance that you're unhappy with. Think about all the things you've complained about. What percentage of those situations changed due to that complaint? Complaining is just giving offense a voice. When you complain, you give your offense a platform. We have to get rid of those complaints. We have to spend our lives looking to how good God is rather than the things that we wish He would change. We have to teach ourselves to stop when something comes up on the inside of us. We have to discipline ourselves to say, I'm not going to complain. I can't think so highly of myself that I feel like I have the right to complain about everything and everyone. When you complain, you know what that says to God? That says, I know how things should be. I'm the one. I know how you should be. I know how this should be. I know how he should be. We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. And then we think that because we're all a church family and everybody around us is close, we think it's not gossiping. Because everyone around us is close. So I can tell my brother in Christ that we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Because you know what? There are things that other people could probably look at me and complain about. There are people at your office that if they wanted to, they could look at you and complain. We have to stop. We have to surrender that to God. I want to give you guys the final point of how to live your life filled with joy. My final thought. And that's, you must find a way to put your trust in God. Verse 9 of that chapter says, No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. We have to learn to rest in the Lord, to give it to Him and just try to trust Him. I would be so sick and depressed and fearful and anxious if I just had myself to rely on. But is anybody glad that we can put our faith in the Lord and not rely on ourselves for the things that our children need, for our jobs, for our finances, for our marriage, for our future, for our careers? We don't have to rely on our own strength. We can put our trust in the Lord. And when you put your trust in the Lord, that's so much greater than relying on yourself because you're imperfect. I'm imperfect. I will blow. Yeah, we have to get to a place where we say, God, if you don't go with me, if you don't do this with me, I will surely blow it. I know that. I know that if I am doing this without God, if it's just me, I will blow it. But God, thank you so much that I can rely on you. Thank you so much for the promises that your word gives me. Thank you so much that you say that if I will just partner with you, that you will take me to the future you want me to have. Thank you so much that I can be in a battle and know that because you're with me, I have the victory already. There will be struggles. There will be trials. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you've been living your life, as we close this, I just want to say, if you've been living your life and you feel like there's just no joy, you feel like you don't know how to find it, maybe you had it at one point and you just lost your joy, I want you to know that your life can change in a moment. Your whole life can change in one moment. And I believe that this is one of those moments right here. I believe that for those of you that would say, I want God to change my life, I think that you could walk away from this and never be the same. He'll partner with you. He won't do it for you. He'll partner with you and move you into the future. We can't change our past. We can't change how we've been living up till now. But we can move towards the promise and away from our past. We can leave that at the cross. Say, God, I've been living a life of complaining. I've been living a life of offense. I've been living a life without joy. And I want to leave that behind. I'm gonna ask you to consider making some decisions today. Will you guys close your eyes? It's just as I ask about this, I want nobody looking around. First thing I'm gonna ask is who today, if you're just like plagued with negative thoughts and you wanna turn away from that, you wanna give that to Jesus, can you just put your hand in the air? Maybe that's your thing. Just like, man, I just need to turn away from my negative thoughts. See, one hand, two hands, three, four, five, six, seven. Hands going up all over the room. I won't rush this moment. God, I want to turn away from my negative thoughts. Hands are up all over the room. Okay, guys, put your hands down. And the second question I'm going to ask is maybe there's someone in here who's far from Jesus today. Maybe at one point you were close to him and you don't even know how it happened. You just drifted. Or maybe you made the decision at one point, like, I'm going to walk away from God. Or maybe you've never been introduced to Jesus before, but you just right now you feel like you just know that I just need Jesus. I need to be close to him. I need to be close to him again, or maybe for the first time. And you want to make that decision today. Can I see your hands? No one's looking around. That's amazing. Amazing. One hand, two hands, three hands. I'm not going to rush this moment. This is your moment right here. Four hands. This is your moment right here. Your life could change forever. Five hands. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Okay, put your hands down. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for both of those groups of people. And as I'm praying, you don't need to repeat after me. You don't need to stand or anything like that. But I'm just going to stand in the gap for you, and I'm going to pray. And if what I'm saying, if you want that to apply to you, you just say, Jesus, that's me. That's me, Jesus. Just between you and God. Jesus, I'm sorry for all the negativity in my mind. I don't know how to get out of this cycle. I repent. And I declare that I need you. I need you to give me a new mind. I want your thoughts, God. I want to agree with your word when I'm thinking. I don't want my thoughts to rob me of joy anymore. I need you, Jesus. Please come. Help me. Show me how to do this. Change me from the inside. Give me strength when those things come up to say no. Give me strength when that thought drops in my mind to pick it up and to throw that thing back. I need you, Jesus. Help me. Thank you for a new mind. Thank you for a new set of thoughts. In Jesus' name. I'm going to pray for that second group. Dear Jesus, I'm far from you, God. And I now know that I can't do life on my own. I can't make it in my own strength. I need you, Jesus. I'm sorry for being far from you or walking away from you or drifting from you. I'm sorry. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be my Father. I need you to be my helper. I want to come back to you, God. I declare right now in this moment that you are my King. You are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen. And whether you raise your hands or not, I want every single person to pray this declaration with me. All right, let's go. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to live a life filled with joy. I confess that I need you. Please help me turn from negativity. Help me center my thoughts on you. Help me to speak life over myself, especially when things get hard. Today, I make the decision to live my life, putting my trust in you. Fill me with joy. In your name, amen. Guys, we had tons of people make decisions for Christ. I think we should give glory to God for that.
Good job. Good job. Let's say thank you to Pastor Jordan for the word today. Yeah. You get encouraged. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to receive our offering here this morning or this afternoon now. Hey, listen, we have this card. It's in the back of the seat in front of you here. If you made a decision or you'd like to find out more about Gateway or you need prayer, take this card out. Fill it out and drop it in the offering bucket as it comes by here. We will have some information we want to give to you. We can help you in your walk with Christ. Let me say this prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time to be able to give in your offering. We thank you, Lord God, that you said in your word to honor you and you would bless us. So we just speak blessing over this day, Father God, and meet every need in this house in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, let's wait upon the wee people and let's worship one more song.
Rescued me, love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. So mountain high or valley low, I'll sing out, remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours. Oh,
we have some anointed prayer warriors that are up in the front here. If you need prayer for anything, feel free to come on up here. Until then, I'm going to speak a blessing because we're about to walk out into that world. And how many know we need some joy to be able to face it? Father, we just thank you for this day, for this time, for us to gather, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, that you said that, Lord, you want your peace to abide in us, your joy to abide in us. So we just speak in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit pours out upon everybody here in this room, the children, the babies, our families, wherever we go, Lord. This week, let it be a week of joy, Lord God. Fill this house, Lord, with your grace and peace. I speak that, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. God bless you, Gateway. We'll see you next week. Gateway Healing Center, 3 o'clock, Reality Room. It's going to be a blessed time. God bless you.